Okay, thank you. Thanks everybody for joining. I think we have a pretty full house here in terms of liaisons and all members present. So thanks everybody for joining. The agenda and other materials have been sent out for your reading pleasure, and there's been a reasonable amount of them. So the agenda is in the Adobe Connect right now. Are there any additions or subtractions or suggestions for the agenda? Okay, seeing or hearing none, we'll move on with the agenda as presented. We'll go to agenda item number 2, the action items. I'm going to report only on any of the open items, which means the first one has been completed, so we'll move straight to the second one. And
I actually, excuse me, this is Elise. I believe that I'd sent email that this one was completed because we had discussed the topic of the table, and we'd included it in last month's report. And it's also included in this month's report.
Okay. And so fair enough. One thing I am just curious, could you give a little color on the revocation of Orient Express?
No, I can't give you that color. But is Naella on the call also? Because she can probably give. We've had several different kinds of revocations in the past 3 months, and I'm not sure which this one is. Naella, can you give color on the Orient Express one?
Hi, Elise. Yes, I'm on the phone. And in terms of color, I don't really have a story to give. It's provisioned in the GTLD, in the new GTLD contract that if the GTLD operator chooses to pull out and be removed from the root zone, there's a process that they follow where they notify ICANN, and then within 180 days from them notifying ICANN that they wish to be removed out of the root zone, they can be removed. So it's one that falls within that category. This is a voluntary one. They decided they did not want to participate in the root zone anymore. They gave the notification to ICANN. ICANN follows a process where they make a public announcement, and then they go through a number of steps where the contract is revoked, and then they send instructions to ICANN to IANA to now actually carry out the work of removing it out of the root zone.
Okay, so fairly standard.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Action items 03 and 04 are completed. I just noticed, okay, Elaine, you have an item for AOB. We'll log that. Thank you. Moving on to action item 05, which was around the PTI survey. Just to provide I'll provide a little bit of an update. Alan, I asked Alan to have a preliminary call with Elise, and he spoke with Elise and Marilia about the overall timing cycle for the survey. And, essentially what I understand from that is the survey itself will be finalized in late June. And it's my intention to further engage with Elise and Marilia and get back to the overall group in at our June meeting, if that's okay with everybody. And actually, Elise, you did send out the timeline to me. Could you, at the end of this call or when it's convenient, could you circulate it to everybody on the list, please?
Yes, happy to do that, Byron.
Thanks. And hopefully everybody is at least somewhat familiar with the survey itself, given, or at least the TLD operators here, given you would have received it in the past, so you know essentially what it looks like. But don't worry, I won't actually test you on it right now. Any questions or comments there? All right, action item 06 and 07 have also been completed. So we'll move on to agenda item number 3, the PTI performance for April 2017. And I know that there's only one missed metric, but Elise, could you give us a brief walkthrough, please?
Yes. So the metric that we exceeded was the retest of the technical check, and the explanation is in line with what we've explained in the past, that the technical check suite had to wait for responses from name servers that were ultimately unreachable. And it does this for a certain period of time before timing out. And this is one of the topics that the CSC has previously recommended that the threshold be revised and reviewed. So that was the cause of this exception.
Okay, so nothing different than we've already had discussions about in previous months. Anything unique
Correct.
To this?
Nothing unique. And we knew the reason for this. We had already investigated, and it was similar to other technical checks that we have reported in the past that had a similar behavior.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Mara? Okay. Well, then we'll move on to 3B, which is the CSC or the draft CSC report, which Trang, thank you, has sent out the draft version already, but notes any changes from last month, and includes some of the requests from last month, including the publication of IDN tables. Anything else you wanted to draw our attention to, Trang, on the draft CSC report?
No, not really, Byron. This was a pretty straightforward one.
Okay. Committee members, any comments or questions regarding the draft CSC report? Everybody okay with it? Or maybe I'll frame that in the negative. Any objections as presented? Okay, seeing or hearing none, we'll take the draft report and issue the clean version as the final report for this month. Thank you. Okay, moving quickly along to agenda item number 4, review of the SLEs and overview of the SLE process change. Barton Trang had circulated to the group a one-page flowchart of the general process. There it is up on Adobe Connect for us. And while we can all see the boxes on the page, Bart and or Trang, could I ask you just to quickly step us through it and hit the highlights of what's required?
Byron, this is Trang. Maybe I will start, and then maybe Bart or others can chime in. What we have drafted here for the group's review and discussion, basically a high-level flow of what would need to happen for to change an SLA, basically. There are, as you can see, two potential starting points for changing a SLA. Maria, it's very small, so I don't know if it's possible for you to release the syncing of the document so that others can potentially zoom in. Perfect. Thank you so much. The two potential starting points, the top being the IANA naming function review that is mandated by the ICANN bylaws. Through that process, an SLA could be changed as the scope of the IFR is to review IANA's performance against the IANA naming function contract and the SOW that is in Annex A of that contract. So through that process, it could potentially result in a recommendation to change a particular SLA. So that would be one path for changing an SLA. Another path for changing an SLA would, of course, be via the mechanism provided for in the CSC charter, which means that the CSC and PTI could initiate a review of the SLA at any point in time, and through that process, the CSC could recommend a change to the SLA to the CCNSO and GNSO. So what we try to do here is map out the various steps for each one of those paths. The path at the top, the IFR path, is basically an illustration of the steps as provided for in the ICANN bylaws, which is basically says that the board is initiates an IFR, and then the IFR review team is formed. They go about doing their work, including considering changes to SLA. And if they do consider changes to SLA, they have to consult with the CSC per the charter. Per the bylaws. And then if the IFR review team then indeed through that process recommend changes to SLAs, then they also have to seek approval from the GNSO and CCNSO before the recommendations then go to the board. So that's the process as mandated by the ICANN bylaws. The bottom line, as you can see, is the process that we have tried to map out per the CSC charter. So as a potential starting point, the CSC or PTI could request a review or change of the SLA. And per the charter, it's envisioned that the CSC and PTI would then discuss that request. And if both parties then agree on the outcome of the request, which could either be to change an SLA or not to change an SLA, then the actual modification of the SLA, if there is a modification, then would have to go to the CCNSO and GNSO for approval. Once approved, we envision that that would go to the ICANN board because that would require basically amendment of an existing contract. And then the process then becomes the same for either path, the IFR path or the CSC charter path. So that's essentially at the high level the process as we see it for amending a service level agreement. And I don't know, okay. Bart or Elise or anyone else, they have comments.
I just have a quick question on that. Where is the PTI board in this process? Are they not required to approve in some way? Are they not in this process at all? I'm just struck by their absence entirely.
Thanks, Byron. I think we did inadvertently leave them out. It's not just the ICANN board, but the PTI board would also have to approve the contract amendment. So we'll need to add ICANN and PTI board to that box.
Okay, so you'll update this and recirculate it then accordingly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Byron, this is Byron. Elise has a hand up, but before you go into it, this is mapped on the basis of the CSC charter, and this is the language in there. So say, and one of the details is, what does the PTI, as mentioned in the PTI or in the CSC charter, represent? Is it the organization? Is it the board? And who needs to do this? So that's one of the questions, as Trang said. But there are some other open issues not addressed in the CSC charter, and maybe that's where the CSC itself and or the as part of the charter review need to be, we need to find some answers. But that's your
sure.
Document.
So maybe in the In the lower path, the CSC PTI path, the third square box from the left where it says CSC and PTI agree, perhaps that is it's ambiguous to me who from PTI is actually agreeing. So perhaps it's there. However, that said, Elise, your hand is up, and then Jay, and then James. Elise, can you shed any light on this?
I don't know if I can shed light or not, but I wanted to thank you for bringing up the PTI board piece, because yes, indeed, I think they are, as Trang said, part of the approval process for the new contract. I would assume that the CSC, and the question you just asked in the lower thing where it says CSC and PTI discuss the request, that really is PTI org. I don't know, we haven't made that a term yet versus PTI board, but much like we have an ICANN org and an ICANN board, I would think at this point of the process, the discussions are going on with PTI org, which is those of us that do the operational piece. But my other point, and I was hoping that we're all on the same page here, is when we get to the very end where it says SLA changed, there is a step in there where there's some sort of agreement for the time it'll take to implement the changes to the SLA, in the sense of it's not just approved by the two boards, but there may or may not be some development work that'll have to be done. And I don't know if that should be shown in this piece or if we just all acknowledge that once the approval and contract's made, it doesn't mean that voila, we have this miraculous change, that there is some development time that has to be built in. Thank you.
Sure. From an operational point of view, absolutely. And I'm not sure how we want to include that, but I think that makes sense to at least have that reference.
Okay, thank you.
James, your hand is up. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. So just briefly to give some, I think, historical flavor, I believe that, yes, CSE and PTI discussed was organization. Then the ICANN board comes in first as they're the contract owner, and then PTI board come in as the counterpoint at that modify stage, and that's where they have their approval between themselves and the ICANN board. That was my historical understanding of it. I need to go back and check emails and when we were discussing, but that is what I remember roughly.
Okay, thank you. And I think that just reinforces the issue that we need to get clarity on where and how the PTI board fits into this equation and be crisp on where they fit in this process, where and how they fit in this process. Okay, well, I will leave that as a takeaway and action item for Trang, I guess. Lucky you.
It's certainly by we can make that change.
Okay. Carrying on with the same topic, though, in terms of CSC, I know Jay and Cal, back in the last couple of months, you put your hand up to take a stab at the SLE review on behalf of the CSC and lead that. And I just wanted to get a sense, have you had the opportunity yet to start to dig into that? And if so, could you provide us an update? Cal, see your hands up. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Byron. We've exchanged a number of emails with Ayanna and... I think I certainly have a better understanding of what the challenge will be in recommending a revised SLA, but I'm not sure that I can easily make a recommendation or that anyone can easily make a recommendation on what the SLA should be, because at the moment the missed targets are a function of the way the tests are conducted, and until we have a replacement system or a replacement mechanism for conducting those retests, it's hard to know what the SLA should be. So I think I'm clearer on the problems, but I'm not sure I'm clear on what the ultimate solution should be. Do we wait for a revised system and then make a recommendation based on that, or do we simply pick a number and ask PTI to meet that number? Understanding, of course, that we might be picking that number with a little bit more knowledge, but not complete knowledge of how PTI might conduct that test in the future. And I see Jay's put his hand up, so perhaps he's got some insight.
Okay, thanks, Cal. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, so as Cal said, I mean, the technical tests are complicated because it's down to how they're operated. Ultimately, we have a lot of headroom in this. My own perception is that if we took the 5-minute target and made it a 1-hour target, that would have no practical impact on anybody. But we get into the difficulty when we start making that kind of call as to how do we socialise that kind of test, how do we check with other people, because that's an issue. I don't think there's anybody out there that is expecting real-time response from IANA, and so... but we can't be absolutely certain unless we check that. So it comes down partly to a sort of a service definition of expectations of what people can have, so that you set those expectations in advance to make sure then that the metrics then fit that behind it. And those expectations I'm not sure are at the strategic level, you know, in terms of can you expect a real-time response or what can you expect are actually set out well enough. So actually what I've said may make it sound quite confusing. It's actually really quite straightforward, I think, for us to do once we've got a little bit of understanding of what's practically possible. But I do think it opens up some questions later on if some of the response we get is no, we're expecting a real-time response.
Okay. So fair point. So how do you see us moving forward here then?
I think as Cal said, we are waiting for PTI to make a change. So there's a schedule change that's going to happen, us to get some data from that, and us to then sit down with PTI and do something that we think is reasonable based on that. And we have so much headroom in it, I really don't think it's going to be a complicated decision for us to come to.
Okay, so do we have a sense then from Elise when these changes are going to be made, and do they have the dev resources required to make them?
So this is Elise, and I don't think, maybe you want to get Lars Lehmann's hand first. And then I can respond?
Sure.
Or do you want me to respond first?
No, I'll give you a second to think about it. Lars, go ahead.
Yes, but the thing I was thinking of is I like Jay's suggestion. I might want to add a spice in the stew to see if there's a way to determine how and when customers will be impacted by the delay. I heard you, Jay, say open it to an hour and no one will be impacted, and I'm perfectly willing to believe that. But do we know, does PTI know, do we know, is it possible to investigate what type of impact does a certain delay have? Because that could be something that we want to bring into the equation. Thanks.
Thanks, Lars. Elise?
Okay, so... I was just going to mention that I think it was in our last call that one of the things that we discussed was that the data that was used to produce these SLAs was not being collected in a very, it was collected in a different way than it is now. Once we knew the kinds of things that wanted to be collected, we did some instrumentation in order to collect that data that was defined in the CWG design team's documentation. And so I think we had recognized in a month's call that some of the data that we collected had been collected using a different methodology. And so therefore it wasn't necessarily as accurate as we'd like, and that we agreed that we would start looking at what we have instrumented now to see if the way the current RZMS system works and the instrumentation based on the service definitions might be reviewed and then adjusted based on current RZMS. That was my understanding, and one of the things we're seeing, and I think Jay has pointed it out multiple times on the call, is that for certain technical checks, we do exceed the target several times, and that in his opinion, and Jay, I'm putting words in your mouth, so if I say it badly, please just pop in, that there was no customer impact on this metric, and therefore we could raise it, and that was one of the suggestions. So to Lars Lehmann's comment, do we know if there's customer impact? My understanding is just anecdotal feedback from Jay and others is that there's no customer impact on these technical checks. So my other question you asked me, and I'm sorry to address multiple things here, the other question you asked me was, when do we think some of this development work will be done? I know that Kim's on the call right now, and he's been leading the effort with the development team, and we do have a roadmap. We expect some of the RZMS changes to happen like a first phase. It's a multi-phase activity in the fall of 2017. However, I don't know if that will address everything that's being discussed in the technical checks. So I'll stop, and I see you have two more hands, so I don't know if they're responding to me or further questions. Byron.
Okay. Thanks, Elise. Lars, is this an old hand up?
Oh, yes, sorry.
Okay. Cal, go ahead.
I was just had my hand up to comment purely as a frequent flyer of the IANA checks that an hour would not actually impact operations as I understand them, because there are elements to the process, to any route zone change that far the scale is quite different. It's in scale A's often, so. Yeah, an hour for a technical check shouldn't make a big impact on customers. But I think that leads to a sort of a broader topic that when we make these sorts of determinations and if we pick a value, we would need to socialise both the reasoning and the actual value with our stakeholder groups, find out that it's acceptable, I suppose, and with that feedback, ultimately make the recommendation. And so I'm looking at the flow of requests, and perhaps we should have maybe a side note somewhere in one of those boxes that includes a, if not a formal comment period, but an informal comment period or some kind of acknowledgement that we would share our current opinions before we propose them to the CCNSO and GNSO. I know it's probably implicit, but we might want to make it explicit that the first time those stakeholder groups see our proposed changes should not be the time they're asked to vote on them.
Absolutely agree. Thank you for that comment, Cal. All right, sorry, and just to check, are you finished? I don't want to cut you off. All right. I absolutely agree with Cal on that front, and it's probably worth noting that in the process flow, even though it would be implicit, because I think we absolutely need to bring proposed changes to our respective communities for input and feedback, not just as a fait accompli. Any of us who've been around this long enough know that that rarely goes well. And apart from just the sheer logistics of it, how do we know this is the right number? And I think getting that kind of feedback will validate the anecdotal experience. You know, I think we all know what the right answer is, but it is anecdotal based on conversation as opposed to broader feedback from our constituencies. So I guess that still leads me to the question, how do we move from here, recognizing we do have an opportunity in Johannesburg to socialize this, possibly, and what should we be doing with our communities to either socialize recommendations or solicit feedback and input in a way that helps us make up our minds here or narrow down the range of options and the path forward. Jay, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was the last meeting, you definitely delegated this to Cal and I. I think that we ought to have a small working group. Anybody else, of course, welcome to join, where we go ahead and discuss these things. Basically, the minimum, me, Cal and Elise, and then anybody else wants to come along. And we then put a proposal to the main group once we've had a think through those questions.
That's the most excellent suggestion, Jay. Thank you. So that works for you. Let's do that. And as part of that, if there's an opportunity in Johannesburg, let's seize that. And I know most of the members are not going to be in Johannesburg, but I will be. So I'm at your disposal to speak to or solicit either of our communities as required. Any other comments or thoughts on that agenda item, SLE change process? Bart, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Maria, could you change to the second document, please? And it's related. It frames the issues a little bit differently than your first one, than the workflow. But what you will see if you scroll down, there are some procedural aspects to the changes of and review of SLEs and procedural steps, which are not addressed in either the CSC charter or in the bylaws themselves. And where you need to, at some point, or that is the advice, that the CSC together with PTI comes up with a agreed upon procedure if you go through the CSC charter SLE review, and that includes public consultations, etc., and the consultation of the stakeholders. So say this is again for the small working group to look at, and if you need any further assistance from Trang or me, let us know. That's all.
Thanks, Bart. Okay, any final comments on this item? Okay, we'll move on to agenda item number 5. As I mentioned, I've had some preliminary discussion with Elise and Marilia, so the plan there is to get back to this group at the June meeting. With that, unless there's any further comment, we'll move on to agenda item number 6. Okay, on to item number 6, which is an intro to the remedial action procedure And perhaps, Trang, I could ask you to walk us through the process as detailed in the CSC charter. So, I mean, I think we have pretty good guidance there, but if you could walk us through that. And then I'd also just ask you to think about, you know, your sense of what might be the process to finalize the remedial action procedure as well.
Thank you, Byron. The main intent of this chart is to sort of give you an overview of the complaint resolution process, PTI's complaint resolution process, and to primarily show where the remedial action procedures come in to play. And then we have another document that will be loaded to show you the draft remedial action procedures that were included by the CWG in the CSC charter. So let me just walk you through this PTI complaint resolution process at a high level. So if a customer lodges a complaint with PTI, then of course PTI works with the customer to resolve that complaint. And if the complaint is not resolved and the customer escalates the issue to PTI management, which would essentially be, you know, be Elise and her team, then they would work with the customer to try to resolve that issue. And per the CSC charter, at the same time, the PTI would notify the CSC that an escalation has occurred. In the meantime, PTI will continue to work to with the customer to try to resolve that issue. And if the issue is still not resolved at that point in time, then the customer has a couple. The customer can really choose that they want to trigger mediation. They can also go to the ombudsman at that point in time if they choose. And then because the CSC has been notified at that point in time, the CSC may also choose to conduct its own reviews to determine if the issue is a persistent or a systemic issue. If the customer triggers mediation, of course, that has its own path of mediation and so on and so forth. From a CSC perspective, if the CSC decides to review the issue to determine if there is a persistent or systemic problem, and if the CSC through that review determines that there is a systemic or persistent problem, then at that point in time, the CSC may trigger the remedial action procedures. So at a high level, that's sort of how the complaint process goes, and that's where the remedial action procedures would come into play. So let me stop there and see if there are any questions before we take a look at the remedial action procedures.
Thanks, Trang. Okay, any questions for Trang? None? Oh, Cal? Cal, go ahead.
Just a quick clarification. The box where PTI notifies CSC after a complaint is received and the customer is escalated to PTI management, I assume that's something we simply note that the complaint is and there's nothing expected of the CSC or even required of the CSC at that point.
That's right, Cal. At that point, it's just a notification that an individual issue has been escalated to the CSC. The CSC, as per its charter, is not to really get involved with individual complaints. It's only if the issue is still not resolved at that point with PTI management, then at that point, the customer has the options of either triggering mediation or going to the ombudsman, and then CSC at that point could also choose to look at that issue to see if it's part of a systemic or persistent problem. But the CSC is really not to get involved with individual issue or complaint at this point.
Thank you. Any other questions for Trang on this or comments? Okay. Well, then maybe try to go to my second question and just say, do you have a sense of the process for us to finalize the remedial action procedure?
So Byron, the CSD charter actually already included a draft remedial action procedures that the CWG had developed. So my recommendation would be for the group to review those draft remedial action procedures and for also PTI Elise's team to review that and see if you have any questions or if there's any areas that you want to modify in light of sort of now that the transition has happened and the new structures are in place, you know, reviewing those remedial action procedures in light of those new structures to make sure that it still makes sense. So the good thing is there's already a draft of the set of procedures, already done. So there's no need to start from scratch.
Right.
So I guess my suggestion would be for the group, both the CSC and PTI, to review the draft remedial action procedures and then perhaps on a subsequent call to highlight any sort of questions or areas of concerns that you may see with the draft procedures.
Okay, thanks. I trust everybody is at least passingly familiar with what's in the charter. I think we are fortunate. CCWG did a pretty good job on providing guidance on what the remedial action procedure should look like. So we do have to make sure we're comfortable with it. The other thing, however, is the actual process or logistics and how do we want to go forward with our own communities in terms of any kind of outreach or consultation with our respective communities. Bart, go ahead.
Now, just one thing, just to ensure you are aware, I think it's either in the ICANN bylaws or the PTI bylaw or in the contract that say both the CSC and PTI need to agree to the remedial action procedure. So again, there needs to be a handshake on the process between PTI and again, whether this is the board or PTI org, again, that's a matter for further research. So we'll get back to you on that one as well.
Okay, so you will come back to us on specifically what the bylaws for ICANN or PTI say on this specific issue.
Hi, Byron. This is Trang. Both the contract and the bylaws and the charter, actually, all three actually specifically say that PTI and the CSC have to agree to the remedial action procedures. So confirming what Bart said.
Yeah, no, I get. I guess I'm asking more about specifically the how and the logistics of it.
Ah, sorry.
So acknowledge that CSC and PTI have to come to terms on it and both agree, absolutely. I just like a clear path on the logistics of how that should happen. And also the level of outreach required to make a change like this. So if there's anything specific, if there's any guidance, that would be helpful in terms of process. Bart, would you know perchance, if there are any specific requirements articulated in terms of community comment or anything?
As far as I know, not, because, say, put it this way, the more you deviate from the proposed remedial action procedure, the more outreach effort you will need to do. In principle, this one has been agreed by the community and by the board. So because it's directly from the CWG stewardship proposals. So the one included in the CSC charter. So, but that's one. And secondly, at one point you need to inform and to manage the expectations about the role of the CSC with respect to, first of all, complaints and if and when the remedial action procedure kicks in. And this is, and you do have some time, and it would be nice, for example, I guess, if the remedial action procedure would be in place or at least accepted by PTI and the CSC before the review starts.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. You know, when I look at the charter, when I look at the extract from the charter, I mean, I think you're right, Bart, that the community's had a good hard look at this through the CWG process. But I would also just note that the charter, I mean, the actual document says this proposal is illustrative of what could be included in the remedial action procedures. So I think I take your point that there's been much discussion about it, but I think we also do have to make sure that we are crisp and the community is satisfied that even if we just did a cut and paste of what's actually here, that there is more to be done in terms of getting the community on board. So I think, you know, this to me seems like the what we've suggested with the SLE, that a small working group to review it and with the benefit of having lived with the transition for some time and having had these calls, et cetera, and a better appreciation for what the situation is now. I think a small working group to review this and make recommendations to the broader CSC would be helpful. Before we go there, Bart, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just for to clarify, if you go down the path of this one, it's at least the effort to inform the community is relatively light compared to if you would really deviate from what was proposed. That's the only what I wanted to suggest to clarify. So it doesn't mean that you don't need to do anything, but it makes a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm not suggesting any particular radical changes. At least not at this point. So does that to the members and also liaisons, does that make sense to strike a small working group similar in nature to what we've done for the SLEs to review and make a recommendation on this? Jay says yes, Cal says yes, Elaine, yes, so James, again.
May I ask one? May I ask a clarification?
Go ahead.
The working group is to work on the remediation process that is the draft in the CWG proposal, correct?
Right, yes.
Okay, basically, I just wondered, because what we're looking at on the screen is not what's from the draft of the...
No, we're talking about the... illustrative proposal of what could be included in the remedial action procedure, which is one of the addendums to the actual CSC charter.
Okay, thanks, Byron, because what's being typed into the notes section didn't identify whether it's the document that we're looking at on our screen or whether it was the one in the charter, and I just wanted to be clear which one the working group was going to work on.
Yeah, not the flowchart on the screen, but the table contained in the charter document. And to
thank
my
you for
mind,
the clarification.
Yeah, to my mind, that would be the starting point, and I have no particular reason to think that it may not also be the end point, but it is incumbent upon this group now to actually review it and make sure that it either satisfies us as it stands or, based on the knowledge that we've gleaned since it was put forward, suggest some changes. So as far as I've seen, the members are in unanimous agreement that that would be a path forward. And I also see James's comment, so yes, and I just want to reiterate, I have no particular feeling on whether it should be changed or not. I just want to make sure that this group, with the knowledge that it's acquired over the past, well, since the transition, reviews it and is 100% satisfied with it. Bart, last comment before we start to move on?
Yeah, maybe as a suggestion that you invite PTI to do the same thing, go say the CSC may not find any issues, but you got the handshake with the PTI on this one as well. So as maybe as a request, as a suggestion that you request PTI do the same thing, look at the remedial action procedure.
Well, we can suggest it to make sure they're comfortable with it, yes. So given we're a relatively small group, I would put my hand up to be part of that small working group. And I see that Elise has suggested that she will put herself or somebody forward for that small working group from PTI, which would be, I think, entirely appropriate. And I'll just wait for a second because I see if several people are typing. Yeah, and Cal's made the point about liaisons can participate too. Absolutely. If I sounded like I was not entertaining that is not how I meant to sound. Liaisons are certainly not only able, but invited. So Elaine, you put your hand up. So Elaine and somebody from PTI and myself inform the basis of that. If there are any other liaisons who would want to jump in and participate and review this, I could also welcome that. You can have the time to think about that and join us, but for now, we'll go with the three of us. And James Gannon, sure. Okay, well, let's go with the four of us as a small working group. We will take that away to review the table as contained in the CSC charter and make a recommendation to the broader CSC. And we will have to get back to you in terms of timing. Okay, any other comments on agenda item number 6? Okay, seeing or hearing none, we'll move on, and that is to whether or not we would have some sort of working session tied to the Johannesburg meeting. I think as noted, I'll be the only member actually attending, and there will be some of our liaisons. Not everybody, but most of the liaisons. So we will have actually had our June CSC meeting very shortly before. So there is a possibility, I'm not sure that a full CSC meeting would be of value at that point, but given the working group struck on SLEs and the RAP. Should we use that acronym, the RAP? I think there's probably an opportunity there to perhaps do some work on these two specific issues. So I would like to get thoughts from the group. Is there a overwhelming desire to have a full CSC meeting in Johannesburg or tied to the Johannesburg meeting? Elise? Elaine says no. Elise, go ahead.
I was responding to the working group, the SLE working group, and I was wondering, since neither Cal nor Jay plan to be there in Johannesburg, I'm not sure that that would be the best time for us to have an SLE working group meeting. But I'll defer to Cal and Jay. I think we would find it easier to schedule a different time.
Okay. Well, part of the beauty of our community, I'm sure you will self-organize the best time.
Okay.
James, your hand is up.
Thanks. So super briefly, I agree. I don't think it's the right timing. And also, given that Joburg is the policy forum, I think staff would actually find it increasingly difficult to actually get space for us for a non-policy activity. I think it'd be super difficult because we're running into that on other groups I'm in. So I think it would actually be a huge amount of overhead for not very much reward.
Okay. So that would seem to be the feel. No scheduled meetings in Johannesburg. Okay. Fine with me. We'll move on. Agenda item number 8. And I know, Elaine, you had indicated you had something for AOB.
Yeah, thanks, Byron. So we hit a little bit of it with the review of the REP, but I'm just wondering if we have it in our schedule or plan to have the CSC review the charter before the review team tackles that work so that we could inform them of any concerns we have around that.
The CSC charter itself.
Yep.
So that's a good question, and I have to admit I don't have it on the work plan right now. But you're absolutely right. My sense is, given what we've just agreed to, and given the size and scope of our group here, I would suggest that we're not in a position to run 3 concurrent sort of work streams, dare I use that word. And given we have 2 going right now, I think you're absolutely right in terms of timing. But I would suggest that it's something that we should put on our medium-term agenda for after at least one of these 2 has come to conclusion.
Yeah, that makes sense. So maybe we could target like August for a working session on a review of the charter and just raising any issues we might want the charter review team to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a very sensible proposal. Any comments or agree? But the goal would be to have a working session or a process on the CSC charter review commence in August. And Cal's asking what the timing is for the charter review.
I have an email. Maybe Bart has a better idea, but I have an email from the charter review team saying that they would kick it off in October. They're going to agree to their terms of review in Johannesburg.
Okay, so August should be fine. Okay. Thank you. We'll take that away as an action item for August, the dog days of August. Any other business? Okay, seeing or hearing none then, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much, everybody. I think that was very efficient and very helpful in terms of us going forward. So thanks all.
Thanks, Bob.
And talk to you next month.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.